This is our third lecture for the day. We are moving on to handout 10, which is on interlinear analysis. We're going to continue breaking down words and now sentences, and we'll be learning an important tool for doing this, which linguists call interlinear analysis. Analysis, in general, means breaking a complex idea into smaller, simpler ideas. Literally, analysis means breaking apart. Breaking into pieces. Interlinear analysis is a way of breaking down words and sentences using two or three or four lines. Interlinear literally means between the lines. To see an example of interlinear analysis, take a look at example one on handout 10. The sentence here is Wiktum yis ayip. Wiktum yis ayip. I didn't catch a lot. The words in this sentence are broken up into their morphemes, that is, their meaningful parts. This sentence consists of two words. The first word, wiktum yis, has three meaningful parts, three morphemes. The second word, ayip, consists of two morphemes, two meaningful parts. The top line of the example gives the natural Nuchonalth sentence. It is written in the usual way that we write Nuchonalth in the Nuchonalth alphabet, except that it's broken into morphemes with dashes and equal signs. The bottom line gives a natural English translation. The middle line gives a quick definition of each morpheme. So that is the interlinear line. The interlinear translation. Do you see how putting these three lines of analysis, one on top of the other, can help someone understand the sentence, even if they only speak one of these languages? Assume that you know English but not Nuchonalth. The bottom line gives you the meaning of the overall sentence, and then the middle line explains how each morpheme contributes to that meaning. One example one is an example of a three-line interlinear analysis. Now take a look at example two. This is another sentence, also with an interlinear analysis, except this one has a four-line analysis. The sentence in two is Chu tlusukum tupshik. Have a good evening. Chu tlusukum tupshik. This is a three-word sentence. The first word is a single morpheme. The second word has two morphemes, sorry, three morphemes, and the last word has two morphemes. What's the difference between the first line and the second line in example two? They both give the example sentence. Why might it be useful to have both of these? So we just had a short discussion about the four-line interlinear analysis. I asked, why would we want both the first and the second line? The first line shows the natural Nuchonalth example. The second line breaks it into meaningful parts. And we saw that there are useful things about both lines. The first line gives us a better idea of how that sentence actually sounds when in the natural language. The second line gives us a better idea of what the parts are, and it also helps show things like the fact that at some level of analysis there's a shik ending in tupshik, but that barred lambda is not actually pronounced. For most of their work, linguists tend to use a three-line breakdown, like in example one. However, because of the complexity of Nuchonalth words, linguists working on Nuchonalth and on other Wakashan languages often use a four-line interlinear analysis. And I'm going to recommend to you that when you do your own interlinear analysis, you start with a four-line. Now, I've talked about the richness of the suffixes in Nuchonalth. Nuchonalth has hundreds of suffixes. roughly between 400 and 500. It's very common for words in the language to have two, three, or even four suffixes. For the rest of this course, we will be focusing on interlinear analysis of texts. I'm going to share some texts with you. I'm going to encourage you to go out and find texts of your own, and you're going to practice analyzing them using this tool. There are, as I've said, there are hundreds of endings to know. There are ways to look them up, which I'll tell you about, but some of the most common endings that you'll find in the language are listed at the bottom of handout 10. These first two lines are endings for continuous aspect and complete aspect. We'll be learning more about what aspect is in handout 12, I think. Mahsa is a common suffix meaning to want to do. Wittas is one of the future endings. It means going to do something. Carla mentioned this earlier. Another future ending is akt, akt. The endings up, at, and ut are difficult to explain. Their names are causative, now, and passive, but they are very common. Uk or uk is the possessive ending. Mit, as I'm sure you know, is the past tense ending. Aas is the habitual ending. It means that something is done habitually. One of the ways that we say take care is u yasuki aas, which means always take care, habitually take care. The last ending listed on this page is tla, which means also. Tla. Now I'm going to go back up to examples one and two, which we looked at the beginning of this handout, and I'm going to ask if you can identify any of the endings in examples one and two as being from this list. I just showed you how you can access Nootka texts from the course webpage. There are two links currently available. One is to the entire volume, pages 1 through 334, and the other one is just to the word list at the end. First, I want to show you the text Deer and the Wolves, and then we'll look at the word list that's at the end of the book. Let's read the first few sentences together. Tli kashapi we'en, a tushmit, tsawayiya, uqumhei, nas. Tli kashapi we'en, a tushmit, tsawayiya, uqumhei, nas. Hilh, a tushap, shi tlukwat we'en, kwayatsik Hil That's the first three sentences. These mean deer went out fishing one nice day. He was at Atushup, which is the name of a place, and the wolf tribe was moving. That is, they were moving from their winter village to their summer village. They passed by deer, and deer spoke. What happens in this story is that deer is out fishing, and the wolf tribe paddles past him in their canoes, and he insults them. So they decide to capture him and make him their slave. He becomes the slave of the wolf chief, who gets him to sing him to sleep. And after the wolf chief falls asleep, deer cuts his head off and runs away. The wolves chase him, and they catch him, And as they're tearing him to pieces, Deer says, "Just don't eat my stomach," and then he dies. Has anyone heard this story before? I've just written in the chat window the first four sentences of the story, according to my analysis. I've also simplified them a little bit. I've left out some words that can be left out in order to make it a little simpler. So here are the four sentences that I wrote. We've had a question about what mood is. We're going to get into mood in more detail in handout 12, but for now, I'll give you a brief explanation of mood. Mood is a very important category in Nuchanoth. It is much less important in English. A mood ending in Nuchanoth completes a sentence, says whether it is a statement, question, or command, also says who the sentence is about, and often says something about the quality of the information. So, for example, we can make a statement using the mood ending ish. She took ish quiet ik mit. Son of wolf is moving. The effect of ish here is to complete the sentence, show that it is a statement about a he, and to show that it's a statement of fact. She took ish quiet ik mit. We can also make a question with the question mood ending ha. She took quiet ik mit. Is wolf moving? Here, the mood ending ha marks this sentence as a question. We call this the question mood. The third sentence is a command. She took I quiet ik mit. Move, wolf. Move to another village. She took I quiet ik mit. Here, the ending I belongs to the command mood. This ending makes the sentence a command about you. I've just rewritten the first four sentences of Deer and the Wolves, but I've made them a little closer to your dialect. These might look a little more familiar. Let's read it together. Uqum he wa ish nas. It was a nice day. She tlukwat wa ish kwayatsik takums. The wolf tribe was moving residence. Hitapiat muach mit. They went by deer, where deer was fishing. Tsikshiat wa ish. Deer spoke. Now let's take a look again at how this story is written out in Sapir and Swadesh. So here's the beginning of the story. You'll see that they've broken the story into individual words, and under each word, they've given a rough translation of what that word means. So take the first sentence. Keep in mind that this is the Tsushat dialect of 100 years ago. The first word, tlikashapiwein, means was out fishing. The second word, atushmit, means son of deer. They've written deer son. The third word, tsawayiya, means one time. And the fourth word, okomhei, means the calm day. The last word, nas, means day. What they have here is part of an interlinear analysis. You have here the natural Nuchanoth and a word-by-word translation. What you don't have is a breakdown into meaningful parts. We're looking at the sentence, she tlukwat wa ish kwayatsik takums. She tlukwat wa ish kwayatsik takums. Do you see any of these very common endings in this sentence? We've now identified all four morphemes in the word she tlukwat wa ish. She is the root that means moving residence. Uk is the continuous aspect. Uk is the ending that means now or and then. And wa-ish is the hearsay mood. So together, these mean something like, I heard that then they were moving. We've been looking at the second text in Nootka texts, which is Deer and the Wolves. But there's also a link on the course webpage to the word list, which is at the end of Nootka texts. This word list is about 100 pages long, and it starts on page 235. And it looks like this. Do you all see the primary structural elements of Nootka? This is a brief introduction about how to read the word list. This will be very difficult for you to understand at first. It's quite dense. But this is the part that's most useful. On page 244, the word list starts. This is a word of, sorry, this is a list of most of the roots in the language. For example, if you know where to look, you can find the verb sheetluk, which we were just looking at. It's on page 283, about three quarters of the way down the page. Do you see where it says shitl, sheetluk, moving, changing residence? One of the things that makes this word list hard to use is that the alphabetization system used in this word list is not the one you're used to. It does not go A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Instead, it follows a particular order that Edward Sapir thought was useful. He was wrong. It's not very useful. Unfortunately, that's the one that is used in this word list. We're looking again at page 244, where the word list starts. And just before the first words begin, Sapir gives the alphabetical order. Do you see that? Alphabetical order goes A, I, O, glottal stop, H, Y, glottalized Y, W, and so on. That is the alphabetical order that is used in this word list. Don't ask why he did it that way. Unfortunately, he did. So you have to get used to his alphabetical order if you want to be able to find stuff. But this is still the best word list available for reading the Nootka texts. I'd like to respond to Veronica's point. She noticed that the different way that Sapir wrote when he made this book almost 100 years ago, whereas today we write sheetluk, S wedge, long I, barred lambda, U K. He wrote it O K. And partly that represents the sound he heard when he was listening to the language. And it also represents the fact that the language was pronounced a little bit differently 100 years ago than it is today. Today we say sheetluk, sheetluk, but 100 years ago it sounded more like sheetluk, sheetluk. I'm going to wrap up this lecture here. We've had a quick introduction to interlinear analysis. We looked at a difficult text in Nootka texts. We looked at the first few lines of Deer and the Wolves. This is challenging because it's a fully fluent text from a fluent Nuuchaanal speaker. Also, it's from a different dialect from the one you're studying. Most of you are studying central dialects, whereas the dialects in Nootka texts are Barkly Sound dialects. To make it a little easier to follow, I rewrote and simplified the first four sentences of the story and put them in a more central dialect. And we practiced identifying particular morphemes in the words. We're going to continue practicing with this over the next couple of weeks. And next time we will use one of Tom's recordings. So you'll be able to use a modern Nuuchaanal text from a speaker you're more familiar with, and we'll see if we can break it down and understand what Tom says a little better. Chooch.